Now, we have a responsibility for providing services, and that is, goes a little bit to what Mike was talking about in terms of our discussions about the unorganized borough. Obviously, there's a need to provide services, and those services should be provided, even though they're costly. But certain kinds of benefits do not accrue to people who live in small communities. By the nature of small communities, people have a right to make that kind of choice. But it seems to me it'd be an extremely unwise thing to even think about in terms of public policy directed towards ensuring that larger numbers of people will stay someplace rather than move. Don't we really believe people have the right to move back and forth? But beyond that, there was one, and I'm not sure that that's an immediate kind of thing or something that impacts itself too much on the constitutional concerns, but I do think it ought to be taken into account. There was another thing that somebody said, so I believe it was you, Mr. March?
Or Dugan.
You're talking about retiring bonded indebtedness, and I've become a bit more of a fiscal conservative probably. The older you get, sometimes you do that. But I don't think that that's really a very wise solution to almost anything either. Because one of the things that makes bonds attractive to a potential bond buyer is the recognition that there's going to be continued debt service and there's not going to be a rapid call-in. Because a rapid call-in of your bonds does not really increase the attractiveness of your next set of bonds. And since I don't believe either you nor anybody in this room believes that we can count on some kind of magic natural resource phenomena to keep popping up periodically so that we can always pay our own way on the basis of these natural resources. If you do believe that, perhaps you believe differently than I, but I don't believe that we can. And so there's always going to be a need for bonded indebtedness in the state of Alaska, and I don't think an immediate early retirement is a good idea, in addition to the fact that it takes totally out of circulation, out of possibility for use, the $500 million needed to do that at that point.
Let me comment on that. I didn't mean to propose that as one of the things that we must do. I just proposed it as a counter to the concept that we dedicate funds. I don't believe in dedicated funds when there's so much to be done. There's a danger in the dedicated fund in itself. By building up a huge investment fund, you could put the banks clear out of business.
I don't think that's a good idea either.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea either. But I just proposed it as a thought. I don't have the answers to what you're going to do with that much money, and I don't propose to tell you that I do have the answers. It's just a thought. Any other of a million good ideas?
I've never noticed we've had a problem expanding our expenditure because that's what
we do just have 10 minutes. Remaining before we're supposed to leave, and although state finance is certainly very important, and I think one of the huge failings in the implementation of the local government article, I think we ought to be more specific with the remaining 10 minutes that we've got to us. Mr. Sharp,
I was going to point out that, in fact, one of my panel members here noted we should save that money because we're going to have to use it to move the capital. But as far as the debt service goes, there's no need that all that be retired immediately. The state could, for instance, just take over debt service. As bonds can do, the debt of the state's going to pick. Some areas that Pavlock brought up, there's another definitional problem in here. They talk about first-class cities and first-class boroughs. Well, the legislature is the one that determines what the class is. The legislature might have come along and not even created a first-class borough. Then boroughs could never have gone home rule, because you must be first-class before you can go home rule. They were obviously, the committee was obviously using the concepts that existed at the time that they wrote this article. So I don't think that there's that much of a problem with definitions. The committee had a reasonable idea of the borough, a general idea. And I'm rather happy that they didn't try to define it more specifically, because then we would be more bound to what the Constitution says as to what we could do. I think that flexibility is great. I think that if we're going to proceed with defining what we mean by city, what we mean by borough in here, we're going to wind up with a much more restricted approach to home rule. I think as far as this internal wrangling, I think Ben and John both seem to feel that creation of cities and boroughs, particularly with the first version the article, amended, requiring that cities have a seat on assembly just created a forum for wrangling. And I think that while it provided a forum for wrangling, I think the wrangling would have gone on whether they sat there or not together. But I think the fact that the city and the borough both sat on the same body allowed them to perhaps have more effective wrangling, and that may be what led to unification, because the two could get together, had to get together, had to discuss their problems. Had it been totally separate bodies, such as cities and counties, they would never have been forced together to discuss their problems, except perhaps in some sort of regional council, which the federal government was trying to force on a lot of areas. So I think that really the fact that they were put together and had to wrangle in the same box may have led to unification much more rapidly than had they each been over in their own area and not required to communicate with each other. Also, a question was raised about the service area. One thing was, who has the authority to make these determinations of these other systems, as annexation or incorporation and so forth, are not feasible? I looked into this some time ago, back in the 60s, and I noticed that at one point the service area article seemed to answer that. It seemed to place that authority in the borough. Then somehow it came out of style and drafting with just a slight change, which seemed to eliminate that very strong implication that the borough was the one that had this authority to make the determination. And I never could find out whether this was just from reading the minutes and so forth, whether this was some sort of intentional change that occurred on the floor or in committee someplace, or whether it was inadvertent in the style and drafting committee. But at one time there was, as I read it, an indication that this would be essentially a borough decision, and these were merely standards that they would look at. And one last comment on Mr. Ronberg's comment about using this term, or the phrase, not prohibited in the home rule section of the article. I think that that is the appropriate wording to start with, that the local government should have all powers. Then the legislature can withdraw those or limit those if it feels necessary. I do think that's the proper approach. The problem that I'm having with it is the problem that the courts are having with it. They're having a very difficult job educating the courts as to what that committee intended that article to mean. And that's why I'm saying that perhaps now there might have been some limiting, additional limiting wording placed in there. But I'm in perfect agreement with the general approach that home rule municipalities should have all powers unless they're specifically or very clearly withdrawn.
Mr. Lombard?
I think I can get it in about half a minute. Just in reply to a remark that was made about having a service, whether it be schools, in order that people stay in a certain area. We were involved in education in Western Alaska for years, and I don't think it was ever the intent that they be trained so that they should then stay, but that they be trained so that they would be free to go. But the interesting thing is that as many have gone on to college, many are returning to be teachers, nurses, airplane pilots, and this is encouraging if they love Alaska, want to come back and serve in that way. But I think you can find any number in the lower 48 who are making their contribution because they have been trained and certainly free to come and go. And I think this is one thing that has made me feel particularly good about the process of education that is taking place under this new state.
Any further questions or comments? I'd like to state briefly, I guess if there aren't any questions or comments, in summation, one prerogative that the chair will serve this time is a closing statement. You know, the intent of the state constitution was that all power inherently resides with the people. Keeping that proposition foremost, I think that the essential business of state government is to provide effective local government. That how better to allow people to make decisions at the level most close to how they are affected on a day-to-day basis than to local government. And contrary to what Mr. Havelock has said, that the local government article is a disaster, recognizing that what he said is largely to promote dialogue. I believe that, you know, the disaster area rests in the implementation of the local government article. That more parochial, provincial self-interest is affected by the local government article than any other article in the state constitution. And as a result, the implementation of that article has been very much hampered. But the fact that substantial progress in the development of local government in our state has been made over the last 20 years, I think attests to the fact that it is a very good article. I think also that the comment made by Mr. Marsh as he departed, that this is an evolutionary process, and that with respect to local government, we're very early in that process in the implementation of the state constitution, I think is very perceptive. And I think that it's going to take maybe another 20 years to ultimately prove the wisdom and the total effectiveness of that particular article. But I think that that really is going to be the case. I think that the tools are there. I think that the mechanisms are there. Certainly some fine-tuning needs to be made. I think that at the executive and legislative level, it needs to become a matter of priority, and that essential funding is being made available to make this local government article truly what the members of the state constitutional convention intended at the time that they adopted. Thank you very much for being with us.